If you have your Bible, we're going to take a break from Leviticus while we move toward Christmas. And so look to the Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter. And we'll begin in the eighth verse. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made it known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take now your word, that you would touch our hearts. Father, that you would use this as a time to get our hearts and minds on Jesus. Father, draw us closer to you than we have ever been. Let us lift up Jesus in this hour. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We are living in the day of the star search. People are looking for celebrities, stars in all types of life. Now, we know the typical star search. If you go to Hollywood, they have star tours. They take you to all the homes of all the celebrities of the ages, and people are in search of stars. They have star spotting groups that go out trying to spot stars along the street, somebody who had gained fame through film or television. And then stars have branched out. There are stars now in the cooking world. There are celebrity chefs and celebrity restaurants, and you try to just see that star chef, that star that has now become renowned. Even in the preaching world, there are some who have lifted their names up so high that it's hard to see who they are preaching about. And so there are stars there. There are stars in the athletic field. There are stars you look for. You know, those stars that can come in and grab a game from defeat. I looked for one yesterday. Sometimes you don't find them. But there are stars that in all realms of life, and there are stars in the Christmas story. Stars, people that God has brought to the light and people that God has held forward through the years. And in these coming Sundays as we approach Christmas, we're going to look at the Christmas stars. Now, there were groups, representative groups that had to do with Christmas, groups that came and were part of the Christmas story. There was Simon and Anna. They represented Simeon and Anna. They represented the spiritually minded people. These are the people that were always in church. These were the people that were faithful to God. These are the people that were there if nobody else was there. These are the kind of people that have held our churches together through the ages. The Simeon and the Annas are the people that tithe. The Simeons and the Annas are the people that pray. The Simeons and the Annas are the people that are there even when it's not a big day. We need Simeons and Annas in our church and in our lives. There were the wise men. The wise men were the learned. The wise men were those that sought out all the information they could get, and when they collected all the information they got, they were wise enough that it pointed them to Jesus. We have this thought in today's world that if you're really smart, you don't have anything to do with Christianity. May I tell you, that is not really smart. Wise people seek Jesus. And then there were the shepherds. They represent the common, everyday folk. They represent people like you and me, people that no one would think about on a day-to-day basis and yet are very important to God. The shepherds were drawn to Jesus. When we think about the shepherds, we think their life had to be difficult, and indeed it was. When you try to find them on the social scale, you'll have to look very hard. They really weren't on it. They were on the edge of society. The shepherds were the outcast. The shepherds lived out away from people. The shepherds were on a lonely hillside while the rest of the world carried out life. They spent their time with sheep. They were disregarded in the day of Jesus, mostly just pushed aside. In fact, they were not even counted as citizens. If a trial was held and a shepherd had seen a crime, they would not even allow the shepherd to give testimony in court. They were so disrespected. If you wanted to be around excitement, you wouldn't hang around the shepherds. You wanted to be around excitement in that day, well, Rome would be the place to go. If you went to Rome, you would find all the political happenings, all the major decisions coming down, so you would go to Rome. Or maybe Athens. You'd go to Athens where the philosophers were, and they were coming up with all the grand thoughts of the day, and so Athens would be a place to go. Or maybe Jerusalem. Jerusalem, where the religious dogma was put forward and set. You know, the world might have gone to such places. Sometimes what we think is important on the earth is not what really is important. And what we think is important may not be important at all in heaven, and what heaven seems to think is important may be seen as insignificant on the earth. When Jesus was born, these lowly shepherds were in the middle of nowhere, tending sheep, a job respected by no one, earning absolutely very little, doing a job that no one wanted to do, and yet God chose to unveil His glory to them. We see the shepherds' work. Now, their work was not respected at that moment, but that's not always the case. There were some famous shepherds in the history of Israel. You might know Moses. Moses, of course, was raised in a Pharaoh's home, but after Moses was exiled, he found himself a shepherd. Now, he wasn't a shepherd for a few years. He was a shepherd for a lot of years. God sent Moses to a shepherd boot camp. And for 50 years, Moses was a shepherd before God brought him back and let him lead. Obviously, there's something about being a shepherd that God saw could build something that was needed in His people. You might know David. David probably is the most famous of the shepherds. David, who was out in the field tending sheep, overlooked when they came to decide who would be the next king, had to bring him in because the other sons were not worthy, and David was the one selected. It was while tending sheep that David would write many of the Psalms. tending sheep, David wrote the psalm that most of you hold to as your favorite psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. To think of David out there with the sheep, thinking about God and understanding that God cared for him. Sheep remind us of man's problem. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all." Sheep are not the most attractive of animals. They're hard-headed. They have to have help just to survive. Sheep show us what sin does in the human race. You know, Christmas shows us something about what sin does in the human race. We're moving into the season that is supposed to be about peace and joy and love, and yet at this season, people have a lot of problems. At this time of year, the sinfulness of man is revealed. At this time of year, people feel more loneliness than possibly any other time. At this time of year, there are families that blow up. At this time of year, people turn to some other aid. More alcohol is consumed at Christmas than at any other season during the year. What do you know about sheep? Well, sheep are not the smartest animal in the barnyard. In fact, they are dumb. It reminds us of the ridiculous nature of sin. Every sin is a dumb act. People are so easily led into sin. Sheep tend to follow one another. Well, people follow one another. And we develop bad habits by following the wrong people. A sheep will go on the same path, the same way, all the time, so much so that they cut ruts into the mountainsides. Sin causes people to be influenced away from God. Who are you following? Who are you hanging out with? Who are you spending your time with? If you spend your time around people that have a pattern of life that are away from God and you follow that pattern, guess where you're going to end up? Some people say, "I'm not a Christian because I think for myself." Well, that's not true. In truth, it's following the crowd, following the sin patterns that leads you away from God. Those who don't know and follow Jesus don't think for themselves. Many people today are swayed by others. Now, we worry about our teens being swayed by others. Let me tell you, the teens can look to their elders and see people who are swayed by others. The media is a huge swaying group. I think in recent years, we should have had a wake-up call to this thing of following the media. Make sure something is true before you accept it as true. Just because you hear it from a news person doesn't mean that it is accurate news. Peers direct many people. We find people setting patterns, and you see this all around you. Have you heard profanity out in public? It seems like it's epidemic. Profanity is a running off of the mouth that is caught by following others. Sometimes, you just want to stop people. Yesterday, watching football, I was expecting a better day, but yesterday watching football, there were some close-ups of coaches at inopportune moments when they were saying things that they should not have been saying. Profanity, and you just kind of want to stop them. Brother Eek Brown, when he preached, used to have a stop sign. Every now and then he'd hold it up and say, "Stop." Well, sometimes it'd be good to stop people in their speech. You just kind of want to say, why don't you learn the English language so that you could adequately express yourself without lowering yourself to the level of a baboon? That might not be nice. Profanity is an attempt for a feeble mind to express itself forcefully. It does not belong in a Christian's mind or life. Now listen, some of us have to teach ourselves not to use it because of the years of having it around us. Don't ever get the idea that you are somebody if you use foul language. Don't ever get the idea that you have to use foul language in order to communicate. My dad was a chief naval officer, a master chief. It was said of him he was the meanest man that they knew on post or on base in the Navy world that didn't cuss. He had a way of getting his will across without the use of profanity. And I can guarantee you, in the home, he had a way of getting his will across without the use of profanity. I did not say without the use of a belt, but that's a whole different topic. Don't follow the crowd in profane speech. Don't follow the crowd in use of alcohol. I know that we have a widespread acceptance of alcohol in our world. We are having a widespread acceptance of alcohol now pulling into the church. The great pressures on people today is to go along. It is socially accepted. And so since it's socially accepted, we think it should be okay for everyone, and we think it should be okay in families. We think it should be okay for children. And so what's happening in Columbus, Georgia, in the world of alcohol? Well, in Columbus, Georgia, we have parents who are throwing parties that have to do with alcohol consumption, and since they keep the kids overnight, they think it's quite all right. Where did they pick that up? Well, from following the thought that everybody needs to drink. May I tell you, everybody does not need to drink? And let me just let you know, you want to help your family's budget, cut alcohol out. It will increase your spendable income, and it will increase your reason to spend what you have. Social drinking is actually antisocial. And whenever a preacher brings this up, somebody says, "Well, what about Jesus turning water into wine?" We could talk all about the water and the wine, and we could spend some time on those kinds of things. That is not the issue here. The scripture says very clearly that we should not even look upon it. But alcohol is not the only problem of the day. It certainly comes by following crowds that people drink. But I'm understanding in Columbus, a new thing that we're seeing happening in young people's lives are pill parties. Now, a pill party is very simply put on. Everybody just raids their parents' pill cabinet. They bring what they have, they put them in a bowl, and then they take pills. How can anybody do something so dumb? Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it has never been a good answer. It is not a good answer for you. It is not a good answer before God. All we like sheep have gone astray. Sheep are dumb. People are dumb. And sheep are dumb about spiritual things. You know, people can talk about almost anything. They can talk about sports. They can talk about politics. But they have no idea about spiritual matters and about how to get to heaven. We are here to tell them how to get to heaven. Sheep are directionally challenged. They get lost easily. They don't mean to get lost. They're not thinking about getting lost. They just nibble from one spot of grass to another spot of grass, and before you know it, they are lost, and they seldom can find their way back home. Dogs know how to get home. Horses know how to get home. Cats think they own the whole world, so they are always home. But not sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, Scripture says. Our desire to go our own way, our desire to ignore God's way, wrecks our lives. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. So, sheep are dumb. Sheep are directionless. Sheep are defenseless. You know, dogs bite. Cats scratch. Lions roar. Skunks, well, you know what skunks do. Sheep have absolutely no method of defense. There are no ninja sheep. Man can't defend himself when he steps across the line of sin. Man can't defend himself when he comes before judgment. What are you going to do to ask God to ignore your sin? Or what are you going to do to pay for even one sin? Sheep tell us about God's provision. The shepherds were tending sheep. Well, the Bible says that Jesus is a shepherd. It's a comfort for me to know that when Jesus came, he included the common person. He included people like you and me. And he came to care for us, and that is seen in the fact that he identified himself as a shepherd. In John 10, I am the good shepherd. In Hebrews 13, I am the great shepherd. In 1 Peter 5:4, he is the chief shepherd. Every sheep needs a shepherd. And every person needs Jesus as their shepherd and Savior. Our shepherd Jesus became a lamb. In John 1:29, it says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." A lamb is a picture in Jesus of what he came to do. Now, we have been studying the book of Leviticus, and in the book of Leviticus, we talk about the sacrifice of animals and the slaughter of lambs. On the Day of Atonement, as many as 300,000 lambs would be slain. All the blood would be caught, all the blood necessary for pushing sin forward toward the cross. Jesus would be the sacrificial lamb. Jesus would lay down his life on Calvary's cross. Jesus would pay the debt for our sin. Throughout the Bible, there's a search for the lamb. The first place we see the search for the lamb is in Genesis 22. Abraham and Isaac are going to do a sacrifice. God has told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. They go up the mountain, and you know the story. Isaac says, "You know, here's the fire, and you know, and here's the wood. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb?" The great question of the Old Testament is, where is the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? Where is the payment for sin? Where's the one that's going to make things right? The first question about a lamb in the Old Testament is, where's the lamb? The first statement about a lamb in the New Testament is, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Not a coincidence. Jesus is the lamb, and he is the good shepherd that became a lamb to give himself to die for us. Those shepherds, by their work, remind us that we are sinners. We need a Savior. God has supplied our need for a Savior, giving us Jesus, the gift to all mankind. There's the shepherd's wonder. The Bible says the angels of the Lord came unto them. Now, the angels are really busy about this time. They're going to Zechariah, they're going to Joseph, to Mary. Now they go to the shepherds, and the Bible says the glory of God shone round about them. The glory of the Lord is a visible manifestation of the presence of God. In the Old Testament, it was as a cloud, and the cloud would lead them, and the glory would show. But there came a time when the glory departed from the world, and God's glory was removed. But that night on that hillside, these lowly shepherds were surrounded by glory, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The glory came back. Jesus coming back brings glory. In John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The angels were there. Glory was there. The Bible says the reaction of the shepherds is they were terrified. I will admit that had I been on the mountainside with them and the glory came down and the angels came down, I would have been reacting just like the shepherds. I would have been terrified. They had not ever seen glory. They had never seen an angel. You can't really fault them for having fear. And so what does the angel say? Fear not. Shepherd had to think, that's easy for you to say. Everywhere you touch the Christmas story, God tells us, fear not. You know, fear is one of the overcoming emotions of the day. Fear. People fear fear about their jobs, fear about sickness, fear about death, fear about rejection. Everybody has fears. But the birth of Jesus comes to deal with our fears. In verse 10, fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Good tidings, that's the word gospel. Fear not. Why not fear? Because the gospel has come. There is good news. There is good news that you can be forgiven of your sin, good news that you can go to heaven because of Jesus. This good news is to all people. May I say it is important for you to understand the good news is for all people. There is the heresy being taught that the good news is only for some people. No, that's not what the Bible says. The good news is for all people. About that time, the Bible says, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts, an army of angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The birth of Jesus touches heaven and earth. It touches heaven, the glory to God in the highest. It touches the earth, and it brings peace to the hearts of men. Everywhere you look, you can find something for which to glorify God. Through the Christmas season, I challenge you, take a moment as you see beauty. Take a moment as you see blessings. Take a moment as you see kindness and glorify God. God has given us a Savior announced to their wonder. And then there's the shepherd's witness. In verse 15, let's go. Now, they were getting smart. They had just been visited by the angels. What are you going to do with the news? They could have stayed tending their sheep. They decided to break out of the box, to get out of their norm. They decided to do things differently than they would normally do them. My friend, you are called by God to do differently from what your selfish will would do. You're called to do differently from what your sinful self would do. They came with haste and they saw Jesus, the God of the universe in a lowly manger, the God who held the world in His arms, held in the arms of Mary. In verse 16, after they saw Jesus, they spread the word. They had been to the cradle and they had to tell it. They had seen the angels and they had to relate the story. Listen, if you have been to the cross, how much more powerful than to be in a manger? If you have been to the cross, how can you not tell it? How can you be silent? The first evangelists were the shepherds. The first evangelists, the nobodies on a hillside. The first evangelists to become stars for the Lord were these lowly shepherds who told the good news. Jesus had come. The Messiah was here. Think of the coming of Jesus. The shepherds were outcast, alone, lowliest of the low. And God sent his message to them. The Christmas story is for you. The Christmas story is for everybody. The truth is, Jesus came just as much for you as he came for any other person on the planet. And salvation is available for you. And praise God for me. But we have to receive it. Had the shepherds stayed on the hillside, we wouldn't have a story about the shepherds. You wouldn't know about their following the news of the angels and following the good news of the gospel. But they didn't. What are you going to do? This morning, there's a decision for you to make. If you have never invited Jesus to be your Savior, that's why you're here, and you need to invite Jesus to come into your heart, to save your soul, to forgive your sin. He will do exactly that. He wants to do that. That's why he came in the first place. But if you just stay and do nothing, nothing will happen for you. Oh, but if you come to Jesus, if you would just step out, walk forward, just say, I want Jesus. We will pray together. Jesus will come into your heart. You will be gloriously saved, and like the shepherds, you will have good news to tell. Believer, let's go through Christmas spreading the good news. Let's share the news that God has brought to our hearts. Let's let the world know that Jesus came, Jesus saves. We have that purpose. Don't let it pass you by. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for our time together. We pray now, Father, that you would move our hearts toward decisions that we need to make. In this very room, Father, are some that have never met Jesus as their Savior. And Lord, I pray that today that they would be willing to say, I want Jesus. That they would be willing to step out, to come forward, to make this critical decision. Father, I pray for believers. Lord, that we would take the news that you've brought to our hearts, the peace that you have given us, the forgiveness that we have, and we would be willing to share it. And Father, some need your forgiveness. Some need to be restored. And Father, I pray that they would come to you and have that done today. Guide us to decisions we need to make. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, you come.